Last week, we discussed the meaning of the word Beisechon in the Chumash. We said Dais means a Mokom of Dalet al Dalets, which Rav Moshe holds 7 feet and 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches. And every room is considered a Bais Bifnei Atzmo. And we pointed out that the Taz says that everyone agrees that it has to be 7 feet and 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches. It can't be 40 by 2. It can't be, right, it has to be that minimum width and minimum length. And we can't have a narrow area which is very long and the square area is made up for. That would not be chayv. It has to be a minimum 7 feet in the width, a minimum 7 feet in the 7 feet and 3 inches in the width, minimum 7 feet and 3 inches in the length. One thing I neglected to mention last week was that if you have things in the room that diminish the area, say you have a closet, you have a sink, you have a fridge, you have a... So does that halakhically diminish from the area of 7 feet and 3 inches and 7 feet and 3 inches or not? So the major idea in the poskim is that what the movables do not diminish, and the things that are built into the ground do diminish. So if you have a sink that's built into the ground, then you don't count the 7 feet and 3 inches to the end of the sink. That is diminishing the area. So what's ever left from the sink to the next wall will count. But if you just have a movable closet, so that does not diminish from the area. So that is an important point to clarify from last week. Okay. Today I would like to continue on and discuss, firstly, what does the next word in the pasuk mean? Visharecha. Saftam al mezuzos beisecha uvisharecha. What is visharecha? So the Gemara tells us in Yuma, page 22 of the packet, Yuma, daf yud aleph amud aleph. Tanu Rabbanan, Misharecha, Echad Sharei Batim, Echad Sharei Chatzeros, Echad Sharei Medinos, Echad Sharei Ayaros. Yesh Bem Chobas Mitzvah, Lamokom Shenemro, Ksaftam Al Muzos, Besecha, Uvisharecha. In other words, till now, we were under the impression that the only area that is Chayiv in Mezuzah is a bias. And we said a bias means any room that is 7 feet and 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches, that constitutes a halachic bais. Now, the Gemara says that the fact that the Torah doesn't only say bais, it also says uvisharecha, we now have another obligation. Say you have a city, an ear, which is surrounded by a wall. And the city is surrounded by a wall, and the wall has openings into the wall, and it has a doorway by going into the city. So the halacha is that the doorway going into the city also is chayev in mezuzah, because that's called the shar ha'ir. Or the Shar HaChotzer, where you have a doorway going into a chotzer. You have grass in front of your house, which is surrounded by walls, and there's a doorway. So even though the doorway is not the doorway of your house, it's the doorway of the area where the grass is, that's a chotzer, that also is chayev in mezuzah, provided that it is surrounded by walls, and there's a doorway, that a structure of a doorway that leads into this area. Now, if it would only have said the word bias in the Torah, then I would not obligate these areas. But since the Torah also says visharecha shar, so therefore we derive that a shar means a gateway, which is the opening entrance to a chotzer or to an ear, that also is chayiv in mezuzah. So So at first glance, what would be your first reaction? Which would be the place that therefore would be chayiv as a result of this? What? Well, Yerushalayim would be your first. Yerushalayim would be the old city. The old city of Yerushalayim would be your first reaction. That based on this Gemara, that the old city of Yerushalayim should be chayiv in Bezuzah. However, Rashi on the page, the third line in Rashi, Abul Mechuza Shari Ir Shashma Chuza V'Hoyu Rubam Yisrael. Rashi says that this din of Ir chayiv in Bezuzah only is if the majority of the inhabitants of the Ir are Jewish people. Hence, Yerushalayim would not be. Right? Would not be chayiv. Right? Because the majority is not Jewish. And therefore, they would not be chayiv in Mezuzah. Doesn't mean that if you want to put one there, you could put one there. But do they put them?
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah. All houses
in Jerusalem. No, I'm talking about the gateways.
Also the
shara,
the
this shara, that shara.
Yeah, they all have.
Right, but technically speaking, if it's not Reuben Yisrael, they wouldn't be chayiv. Yeah.
Might there be a difference if there's a shara which goes into, let's say, the Jewish quarter as opposed to?
But it has to be a, but all Yerushalayim is one big area.
Right.
So the Jewish quarter is not, if the Jewish quarter would have walls around it separating the Jewish quarter from everything else, and then there would be a gateway only going into that quarter, that would be totally, you know, mechitzed off from everything else, then I understand what you, but if, the only place that I am aware of that would have a chiyuv based on this halacha of Shara Ir today is what? Is Seagate in Brooklyn. What can I tell you? Mordechai Ben David, does he live there? Still lives there? Seagate in Brooklyn is fenced in, right? And but the last time I was there, I didn't notice.
Is he Bungalow Colony?
Yeah, you should have
him
in Eretz Yisrael.
What?
Yeah, like you should him in Eretz Yisrael. They're completely surrounded by fences.
Right, okay. If you have. Right, okay. If they're completely surrounded by fences and they have a gateway, then. And this is all because of this Chiddush Visharecha. The only thing is, it's brought down in the poskim that if you feel that you're living amongst goyim and the mezuzah is going to get stolen and mutilated, so then that's a reason to exempt an area from mezuzah. So one of the rabbanim suggested that first put up the mezuzah without the parsha and see if someone steals it. And if that doesn't get stolen, then you can put the parsha in. The last time I was there, I didn't see a mezuzah there by Seagate.
Two holes in the wall.
I didn't look that carefully. Yeah.
And who is the responsibility to put up the mezuzah? Is it on the individual homeowners, or would it be on the like the political authority? Who has the responsibility?
That's a good question. Who should put it up? I mean, it's. People have to get together and appoint someone to put it up.
So, if you have a political authority, like a leader or
yeah, so maybe he should do it. Yeah.
But if he's not Jewish, then
so the Jews have to
form their own.
Their own. Yeah.
Continuing on the question, is it if the we determine that. Owner of the house buys his five buildings in his house. So, what was the owner of the shah? Maybe if the shah is privately owned, even though it's serving the public needs, or like, let's say, if it's owned by the collective municipality, then wouldn't it be a citizen's shah? So,
Right. So as long as it's the rov of the citizens in that shah or Jews, so then you have that obligation.
Even if they
hold the rov. Okay. Good. There's yet another halacha that's relevant to this issue as well. The Rambam on page 23, Perek Vav Halacha Aleph, teaches us. The Rambam says, "Asara tana'im yesh b'bayis, v'achakich skayv hador bo lasos lo mezuzah. Im chiser tana'i echad mehem potem min mezuzah. Be'el lohen. Da'am no." The Rambam says that there are 10 conditions that you have to fulfill in order to have a chiyuv mezuzah in a certain area. And as long as you have to fulfill all 10. Once one of the 10 is missing, then it's potter. So we already discussed the first one. Shiyevo arba amos al arba amos. So Yosef. Good. Shetiyenu lo shtei mezuzos. We're going to talk about that two doorposts. Shielo Mashkov means a thing on top, a lintel on top. But we'll see that's going to also mean, which is a drop in the ceiling. In other words, if the doorposts go up to the ceiling, there's no Mashkov, because there's no drop in the ceiling. Then you don't have a chiyuv to put up a mezuzah. Certain places, it's very common that the houses are built that way. I know, like in Williamsburg, another part, they build the apartments that way, that the doorposts go all the way up to the ceiling. So there's no mashkov. So technically speaking, these places are potter min a mezuzah, because we'll talk about this. This is not what I want to talk about at this tielo tikra. You have to have a roof. Now we'll see that means only by a bais, by a chotzer, by an ear. Obviously, there's no roof to the city, right? There's no roof to the chotzer. This is talking about within a bais. But now the Rambam says his famous shita, the you lo the losos. That in order for there to be a chiyuv mezuzah, the area has to have a door. It's not enough to have a doorway. You have to have a door. A door, a real door. Without a door, the Rambam sheet is no mezuzah at all. So in the Rambam's house, I don't know what it looked like, but all the doorways that didn't have a door, there wouldn't be a chiyuv of mezuzah. That's the Rambam Shita. Now we'll see, obviously we know from our own experiences that we don't follow this Rambam at least totally, because we put mezuzahs all over our house in doorways that don't have doors, right? I'm sure everyone here sitting here has in their home have doorways that don't have doors, and yet there's a mezuzah there, I'm pretty confident. But the Rambam Shita is that a doorway, b'li door, patur. That's the Rambam Shita. Now, this is a unique Shita of the Rambam. The Kesef Mishnah on page 24 says, V'chachmei luniel sho'olu me'rabeinu. Always, the Kesef Mishnah very often quotes Shuvas from the Chachmei Luniel. And the Chachmei Luniel always were questioning the Rambam and various halakhic decisions, various psukim that the Rambam has in his Sefer, and they would give the question and then the Rambam would respond to them. So one of the questions they had, V'yishivlehem ha'sheilav ha'tshuvim, supak lono b'masha omar v'shayu lot losos. He says, what's this thing? Where'd you get that from? V'shayu lot losos. Where does it come from? So we're not going to read the whole tshuva now. You can read it at your own leisure. But look at the next arrow. Echad pischei batim shekol pesach she'ein lo losos pesach mikri shar lo mikri. So the Rambam says that since from the word visharecha, the Gemara used the word visharecha to teach me the din of shar ha'ir and shar ha'chatzir and all these new halachas. In other words, there's not only halacha of bayis, there's also halacha of shar. But the Rambam says, I think al pipshuto, there's another thing to be learnt from the word uvisharecha, and that is that it's not enough to have a doorway. That would be Pesachecha. The Sharecha, the Shar, the gate, is the door. So Pesachem al Mizos Pesachel Visharecha means you have to have a bias, but that bias has to have a Shar to it. What's the Shar? The Shar is the door. And if there is no door, there's no Shar, and therefore there's no obligation, so you don't put up a mezuzah at all. That is the Shita of the Rambam, and the Rambam says, this is his own drasha. I mean, I guess he thought that was the Pshuto Shel Mikra. And the Gemara, Visharecha, Shar Yir, Shar Chatzeres, Shar, that's a drasha. But the Pshuto Shel Mikra, the Rambam says, Beisecha, Uvisharecha, Beisecha, that has a Shar to it. And the Shar is the door. No door, no mezuzah. That is the Shita of the Rambam. This Shita of the Rambam is quoted in Shulchan Aruch on page 25 in Halacha Tezvot. Says the Rambam, Habayis afal pi she'ein lo glosos chayev b'mezuzah. So the first opinion the Mechaber quotes is the opinion of Rov Rishonim, that a bias, that even though it doesn't have glosses, is chayev b'mezuzah, v'yesh misha poter. But there is an opinion that says poter. So, you know, there are a lot of klolim of how to know what the Mechaber is really talking about. You know, the Stechemed has a whole section of the klolim Mechaber. In other words, Mechaber sometimes will say, Yeshomer this, Yeshomer that. Sometimes he'll just say one statement, sometimes he'll say a statement like this. V'yesh misha poter. So how do you know what he's really posting like? Which one should I do? He quotes you two opinions. So here, in a situation like this, where he's saying an opinion, and then he says, V'yesh misha poter, and there is somebody who exempts. So what's the mashmos? That we pass it like the first thing. In other words, the first thing is standard. First thing is normative. The yesh misha poter, and there is an opinion that paters. So therefore, the mechaber shita, and this is our normative psak, is that we put up mezuzos even in doorways that do not have doors. Also, what's the So therefore, why is the Mechaber quoting it then? V'yesh misha poter. So Rabbi Kiveka has a tshuva where he discusses, and this is a very important yesod. If you remember from last week, we discussed the machlokas about beis ha'otzar. That means rooms that are only for storage. And we said it's a machlokas Rambam and the Rosh. The Rosh says they chayiv, and the Rambam says they're potter unless it's used for people, women who are putting on their makeup and things like that. But if it's only for storage, it's potter. So there in Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam Shita wasn't quoted at all. It just said the opinion that Beis Osar is potter. It doesn't say the Rambam Shita that Beis Osar is chayv. It doesn't say the Rambam Shita is that it's potter. But here, the Rambam Shita is recorded. So Rabbi Kiveger, and you look in the Shach, points out that since the Mechaber does quote the Rambam's opinion, therefore, in deference to the Rambam's opinion, we don't make a bracha when we put up a mezuzah on a doorway that doesn't have a door, because the Rambam's opinion is that they're potter legamrei. So according to the Rambam, it would be a bracha levatala to make a bracha on the putting up the mezuzah. So therefore, that's what the poskim are sensitive, because a lot of times the Beis Yosef will have different machlokas rishonim, but when it comes to the final Shulchan Aruch, sometimes he'll just ignore and he'll just quote one opinion. So then the Rebbe Kiveger in his tshuva writes, when he does that, that means he totally rejects the other opinion that he didn't bring down. But here he does bring down the Rambam's opinion of Yesh Misha Poter, and therefore that means, and the Shach points this out as well, that one puts it on without a bracha. So therefore, if you're putting on many mezuzahs at one time, so you should make the bracha on the room that has a door and has the 7 feet and 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches. In other words, a nice big room that has a door. You're not going to put a mezuzah, and then you don't, you're not mafsik, and then you put the mezuzahs on the other doors, and you, the bracha will go on that. But the one that you're going to actually make the bracha on right away, the first one that you're going to sit there with your hammer and your mezuzah and make the bracha, is going to be the room with the door, and that is 7 feet and 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches without any questions. And then you'll have in mind to potter all the other ones. And again, so here we have another limud from the word ubisharecha. That ubisharecha not only teaches us shar ha'ir, shar ha'chotzer, this, it also teaches us, according to the Rambam, that a you need a shar, you need a door. Yes. Yeah, the shach has a complicated case of pasiv alom and osui, and I'd be happy to go through it with you line by line to show you what exactly the shach is saying. Because of the lack of time that we have, that's why I'm not reading this whole shach inside right now. But the upshot, if you read it carefully, the upshot of this shach would imply that you don't make a mezuzah, you don't make a bracha when there's no door. Perhaps. But that's perhaps, even though I think that's the mashmos of the shach, but still, normative sap is to put up a mezuzah without a bracha when there's no door.
And what if that's the only door that you have to put the mezuzah on?
So be it. So be it. Don't make a bracha on it. Yeah, okay. In page 26, the Mechaber writes, Ein ha-Pesach chayav b'mezuzah elim kein yesh lo shtei mezuzos u'mashkof. And this we saw was one of the 10 things that the Rambam quoted. You need shtei mezuzos and a mashkof. Now, there is a whole discussion. What this means. Pashut Pshat, this is a classic door. Classic door. It has mamish, shtei mezuzos, and a mashko. It has these two. One here, and one on top. Beautiful. Classic. This room is a classic room. It's a big room with 7 feet and 3 inches. This room has all the hidurim. Oh. Now, the shach tells us. Now, the question, before we get to the shach, the question that is dealt with in the poskim is, what if you don't have real mezuzos? Here, this has a separate piece of wood. Not just the wall comes to an end, but there's a separate piece here. Right, the door frame, a separate door frame. Now, what would be if you don't have that door frame, but it still has the contour, the shape of a Pesach? So, the way the Minhag Yisrael has become, that we treat that as well as mezuzos. When the Kosel comes to an end, we also treat that as a mezuzah. There are a lot of different nuances but I was told by two different sources, I never saw this myself, that Rav Soloveitchik in his home, and you can maybe verify this with the Yodei Dover, did not put mezuzahs up on doorways that did not have real mezuzos, that did not have that real frame, which is in our modern architecture, contemporary architecture, we have a lot of rooms in our homes that have that are doorways but don't have mezuzah, the real mezuzahs, the real frames. So our minhag is that we put it up. Usually those doors, anyway, those doorways don't have doors, usually, right? That's the way you usually, so you're not going to make a bracha anyway. But our minhag is, but we still put up the mezuzah. Still up for the mezuzah. So if you're, the Ritva and Erevin, and maybe the Mashmos of the Rambam, the Zerach HaShulchan, and others, have this notion that perhaps you really need mezuzos, mamish. You know, and therefore if you didn't, you wouldn't. But normative, and that's what I was told that Rav Soloveitchik, you know, he uses a brisker, the Rambam, and this, you know, mezuzos means mezuzos, real mezuzos, not just the shape of a doorway. But most people did not follow that and will put up a mezuzah even when there's no real separate frame. Again, usually when there's no separate frame, you're not going to there's usually no door there.
If there would be a door,
and it doesn't have a frame, we would probably put it up with a bracha also. The Shach says, V'das harosh, v'tur dafil einu el mezuzah achas. That even if you only have one mezuzah, there's a lot of times you have this. Say you have a rule like this. Going in from here, from A to B. And here there's a protrusion. And there's a dip in the ceiling. So this is a mezuzah. This is a bird's eye view. Right? Here, there's no mezuzah because there's nothing coming out. And the wall doesn't come to an end. So you only have one mezuzah here. Mezuzah, I mean the side posts, right? Because you only have one mezuzah. You don't have two mezuzahs, right? So therefore, the Shach says, there's a machlokas we've shown him, that in this situation, you would still put a mezuzah on the mezuzah without a bracha, because you at least have one mezuzah. But say you would have like this.
Is there a mashkof there?
Yeah, there's a mashkof. If there would be a mashkof, then there would be nothing to talk. I just can't draw it because. But if it would be like this, you see, the mezuzah is always going to be on the right side going in. So here, you have the mezuzah on the right side going in. Here, there's one mezuzah, but it's on the wrong side. So you're not going to put a mezuzah here on the wall, in the middle of nowhere. Sometimes you see people do that. Well, there's a mashkof here. So they'll put a mezuzah here. But this is not a mezuzah because there's no protrusion and it doesn't come to an end. And you can't put it on this way because this is not the right side to put it on. So when the Shach says, when there's one mezuzah, you put on a mezuzah on that one mezuzah, only in this scenario, but not in this scenario. Okay. Yeah, according to Rabbi Kveger, you would put it, yeah, going out this way and this side, yeah. But that's like a chumrah upon a chumrah, because having one mezuzah on its own right is a chumrah. And then I told you last week, Rabbi Kveger is a chumrah, so that would be like a chumrah on a chumrah, which maybe if you own it, you want to do it mela. In a rented thing, I think that would be a little excessive. Yeah.
What if the thing that's making up the mezuzah is not an actual piece of the wall, but it's a cabinet that goes all the way from the ceiling?
A cabinet?
Yeah, like a very large cabinet that's going to the ceiling to the bottom, but that's making the division between one room and another.
But it's the cabinet is a movable cabinet? If it's a movable cabinet, then that doesn't count.
Even if it's fixed, it's not going anywhere. It's there. We built there. The hammer.
if it's hammered into the ground, then you can consider that a part of the, that could be a technical mezuzah, the cabinet, if there's a mashkaf underneath. But if it's not hammered into the ground, then there's nothing to talk about. That's nothing. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, if according to Rabbi Kivager, if the room. No, we're talking about if there's a mashkov. If there's no mashkov, then there's nothing to talk about. Then Rabbi Kivager would say to put a mezuzah on.
I think he's talking about from a small room.
Yeah, he is talking about from a small room, but what would be in a situation that it's potter because of another reason? In other words, he's talking about a small room because a small room is potter. Let's say it's potter because there's no mezuzah here. So I think he would. Again, this is a chumra on a chumra on a chumra. So. It has to be 10 tefachim tall. Right, some people do that. You know, we have one of these things here that they, screwed down. Okay, yeah, I understand what you're saying, theoretically. I'm not so crazy about people who do that, but usually when it comes and you do that, then the room is usually not going to be dollar into that room. Like in Washington Heights, you have that a lot, but the rooms aren't dollar anyway. So. Okay, yeah.
What about those big master beds, the king bed? They got the whole set up, you know, see them in museums and stuff like that. I guess no one makes it because it's not contemporary, but.
Yeah, we only talk about contemporary. Yeah, so what do you want? Mezuzah on the bed? What do you want?
Yeah, is that possible? I mean, the real question is, what's movable? If one person can't move it because it's so heavy, but like four people or five.
Yeah, the bed is movable. Yeah, the bed is movable.
It weighs a ton, but like to eight people together, what's the budget?
I think that's called movable. Okay. Then the second halacha in halacha base is bayi sheyesh lo mezuzah. Okay. Then there's a din of the archway. We'll get back to the archway. Now, one of the most important questions in Hilchos Mezuzah is page 27. Chamadala nomav. The Tanya, Beisecha. Getting back to the word Beisecha. Biyoscha. The Gemara has a drasha that Beisecha, besides meaning a house, the drasha Beisecha Biyoscha. Min hayomin ata omer, min hayomin olam svol, Talmud omer Beisecha, mai Talmud omer Rabba, derech Biyoscha min amin. Dichi akar inish kare, diyamina akar. Okay, this is like one of the biggest issues in Hilchos Mezuzah, is how do you know which way to put the mezuzah? In other words, the mezuzah is on the right side, right? So the right side going in. So you open up the door here. You have the mezuzah here on the right side going into the room, right? Why on the right side? Because it says there be oscha, and the Gemara says most people when they walk with their right foot first. I'm a lefty, I walk with my left foot, you know. And I think it doesn't matter, you don't say, well, people who walk with the left foot, it's for everybody, this halach is for everybody. That biyoscha, that most people walk first with their right foot, so therefore going into the room with the right foot. Right foot first.
Now, the question that has to be raised is, yeah, but when I'm going this way, I'm walking into the hallway, so why don't they have a mezuzah here? Which, how do you know which way is considered going in? How do you know? And this, they say, but which way is called going in? Depending upon the perspective of which way you're walking, how do you know which way is going in? So the Gemara doesn't help us much. It only has one or two lines on this issue. So look on page 28. Lana Gimel Mouth. The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Mezuzah Holach Achar Heker Tzir. The Heker Tzir. Now, it's tough to describe how the doors looked then. The Tzir is the hinges. But the way that the contemporary poskim understand Heker Tzir, for all intents and purposes, means that you know which way you decide, which way is in and which way is out. That's the question. Is coming in this room going in and going to the hall going out, or maybe going to the hall is going in and going here is going out? How do you know which? You always go on the right going in. But what's called going in? How do you know what's going in? So the Gemara gives us one rule. One rule, the Gemara tells us. You know what that one rule is? Heker Tzir. You know what Heker Tzir means? Which way does the door open? That's going in. So if the door opens into the room, that means going this way is going in. If the door would open into the hall room, into the hallway, that would be called going in.
If it goes both ways,
you have a problem. But that is the one rule the Gemara tells us. You mean, you're saying, according to the Rambam, you mean if you... Oh, we'll see. Maybe yes, maybe not. He's saying a good point. The fact that they're giving us a way of determining by the door doesn't mean you need a door. You wouldn't have a door. You wouldn't know... Oh, we'll see. Now, the base medrash, 2540 Amsterdam Avenue, is a big base medrash. How did the doors open? Out into the hallway, right? And which way are the mezuzahs? Into the base medrash. I don't know about the mezuzahs. I only learned that. So what's going on there? Well, we said base medrash is chayiv. We said the last week, and this is a real base medrash, not like the base medrash in the Young Israel that they just dive in there in the weekday. This is a base medrash. People are sitting there the whole day, right? This is a real base medrash, the real thing. People are there from 6:30 in the morning till 2 at night. That's pretty good. That's a real base medrash. That's chayiv. That's a good chayiv. So what's going on there? Yeah, Yoni? Oh, okay. Let's go slow. Most poskim hold that this determination in the Gemara is only if everything else is equal. Then, and we don't know which is the way to do it, then you follow this. But this is not the sole way of determining where a mezuzah should be. There are other ways of determining, and this is like a tiebreaker at the end. We'll see shortly. Minag Chabad, And in Stern College, Rabbi Metzger, who's from Chabad, I was told, put the mezuzahs up like Minna Chabad. And Minna Chabad is that this rule is number one. Minna everyone else is this rule is the low man on the totem pole. What do I mean? So take a look in the article that I wrote here. Take a look on page 43. The second column, where it says placement of mezuzah. Right doorpost. Read along. The mezuzah is attached to the right doorpost as one enters a room. See that? One of the most difficult halachic issues relating to a mezuzah is deciding which is the right side when it is not clear which direction is into the room. For example, if there are two adjacent rooms with a door in between them, the right doorpost from the perspective of a person walking into one room is the left doorpost to the person walking into the other room. Right? Like you have those doors down the hall. So people are going this way, people are going that way. So which way is in? Five rules guide our determination of the right side according to many opinions. They are listed here in order of their priority. That's the most important thing. The order of their priority. In other words, whenever you have to paskin a mezuzah shayla, you have to go through each of the five rules. You start with rule number one. If rule number one is not applicable, then go to rule number two. If rule number two is not applicable, go to rule number three. If rule number three, go to four, go to five. What's rule number one? When there is an entrance between an area exempt from mezuzah, i.e. a city street, and an area obligated mezuzah, a house, the mezuzah should be affixed on the right side as one enters the area that requires a mezuzah. Say your front door. Right? Your front door. So you're coming from outdoors into indoors. Outdoors is potter from mezuzah, unless it's a walled city that has mechitzas around it. But most of where we live is not a walled city with mechitzas around it. So we're going from outdoors to indoors. So therefore, we're going from a mokum patur to a mokum chiyuv. So therefore, going in means from the patur al achiyuv. So therefore, you put the mezuzah on the right side going from out to in. And in means to the makom chiyuv. That's the rule number one. But that rule will apply to limited situations, obviously. Because like going from outdoors to indoors, that's going from a makom tur to makom chiyuv. But say going from this room here to the hallway, those are two makom chiyuvs. So rule number one will not be relevant in this situation. So we're going to have to go to the next rule. Or if you have a situation where you have a patur from other reasons, it's not dalal dalar, or it's a base knesses, or it's whatever. But that's the first rule. You always check that rule first. Number two. When there are two adjacent rooms and one can only be reached through the other, the mezuzah should be placed on the right post as one enters the inner room. This is called the concept of cheder chitzon and cheder pnimi. Cheder pnimi means a room which is boxed in and can only be gotten to via an outer room. Perfect example, this room. The only way to get into this room is what? Through the hallway. Right? You're not going to come through the windows. That's the only way to get through this room. So this room is called the Cheder Pnimi, and that room is called, the hallway is called the Cheder Chitzon. So going from Chitzon to Pnimi, that's called being Nichnas. Going from the Pnimi to the Chitzon, that's not called being Nichnas. That's called going out of the Pnimi.
That's not called going into the chitzon. Going in means penetrating the building further and further, going from the chitzon to the pnimi. But going from the pnimi to the chitzon, that's not called going in, that's called going out. That's why I told you that the Rebbe Kiveger is mechudesh. Because Rabbi Kiveger said, well, if the pnimi room is less than dalet al dalet, so then we say when you're going out of the pnimi, you're going into the chitzon. But bottom line is, no. Pashtus is that going into the pnimi, that's going in. If the pnimi is not dalet al dalet, so you're punter. That's it. You don't say, well, my backtrack, that's called going in. No, that's going out of this small thing. And if you're not chayiv when you went in because it's too small, then that's it. You potter. The backtracking doesn't count. Backtracking never counts. Because then we would always say, well, put two mezuzahs both ways. Backtracking doesn't count. It's going the one shot deal as you go in from the chitz, from bottom, from outdoors to indoors, and then from chitzon to pnimi. So that works very well with this room, because this room is a classic example of a cheder pnimi.
Yeah. If these rules are in priority, then the first rule would say that if you say your would be the big room, because the middle room is cluttered. So I mean, you wouldn't get to the second chumrah, because the second rule, the first rule would already say that the chumrah would be.
Yeah, but Rabbi Kivega's thing is going from, but that's not called going in at Bechlal. In other words, when you're going from the big room to the small room, you're going from a mokum chiyuv to a mokum p'tur, and therefore you should be potter because it's a mokum p'tur. Then when you're coming back, that's backtracking. You see, the first rule is not talking about backtracking. First rule is talking about going in first shot. See, and all these rules, Lechora, are on the first way, first shot deal. Because if not, then everything would make no sense. You have to say the first shot is it. And either you chayev on that shot or not. Oh. Okay. But now we're still very good. But what about all the other rooms in the house? A lot of times you have a living room and a dining room, and you can get to either room from various ways in the house, because your house has different openings. You have a house, an opening on one side, an opening on the other side, so you can go in the house from this way, you can go in the house from that way. So, right, so the first two rules are going to take care of the front door, and they'll take care of the situation that we have here. But they're not going to take care of a lot of other situations. So we have to now go to the third rule. If both adjacent rooms are accessible from other rooms, the halacha looks to the flow of traffic between the rooms. If members of the household walk more often from one room to the other, the second room is considered the inner room, and the mezuzah should be placed on the right side as one enters the room. In other words, the other rule, say you can get to all the rooms via other rooms. In other words, you can get to your kitchen from one side door, or you can get to it from another door. So which way do you put the mezuzahs? So a lot of poskim, the Minchas Yitzchak has a tshuva, you can look it up, everything is footnoted with the exact source of where you can look this up. The Minchas Yitzchak says that the next important rule is Rov Hiluch. Rov Hiluch. What is the flow of traffic? Because when you're coming in from outside, do you go to the kitchen, to the living room, to the dining room? Or do you go from the other door, from the dining room, kitchen, living room? In other words, you have
dining room, kitchen, and living room. So how do you know which way? Do you put it this way? This way? Which way? So you have two doorways from the outside. So what's the normal way? You come in the house this way, and then you go this way, or do you go in this way and this way? So depending upon which is the Rov Hiluch,
that will determine which is considered going in, and therefore the right side going in, going in, going in. But, yeah.
What if one of the two end rooms didn't have an entrance way? For example, as I remember, in this case, wouldn't have an entrance on the right.
If this was closed.
Right. What would be the din of the middle room then?
So the middle room, the only, this room?
Yes.
So the only way to get into this room would be via this room, right? So then this would be a cheder chitzo, this would be a cheder pnimi.
Even though that same room is considered chitzo for the next thing.
Right. In other words, it's a pnimi in reference to this from here. It's a chitzo in reference to here.
If they're equal, then you just put it on the right side. Both going.
You mean if traffic is equal? If traffic is equal, then we're going to have to go to the next room. That's why we have five rules. Is equal, we're going to go to the next one. Yeah.
Is it possible that the kitchen would have mezuzos in the two different sides because of the definite
loophole? Right. It's possible that you could have, well, this one, the mezuzah going here, that this is the hiwach up to here, and this way over here. It doesn't have to be at the flow of traffic. Say most people go here and then they stop. But when they ever get this, for some, whatever the situation is in that particular household. So that's number three. But then,
if you move into a new house, you don't necessarily know if the traffic is going to be there. How do you decide where to put your resistance?
Right, so you don't know the traffic is going to be, so you have to assume which way the traffic is, and if you see the traffic is different than you anticipate, then you change it. Number four. If the door between the two adjacent rooms is used equally, right, from both directions, the room which is more frequently used is considered the main room, and therefore the mezuzah should be affixed to the right side going from the room used less frequently to the room used more frequently. So in other words, if traffic is equal, so say so you don't know which way to do it. So the kitchen, say, you use all the time. The living room, the dining room, you just use the situation where it's open. See, the kitchen you use all the time, and the dining room you only use on Shabbos or something like that. So then, and the hiluch is equal. So then you follow what's called rov tashmish. What is more commonly used? If this is more commonly used, then going in from here to here is called going in. Going from here to here is going out. Now this is a big discussion. Some poskim hold Dayan Breish and the Minchas Yitzchak are Mechutanim. So their children married each other. And then one of them came into the house to visit the young couple. And they saw how they put the mezuzahs up. And they said, "Who told you to put up the mezuzahs this way?" So he said, I forget who said who. It's either the Minchas Yitzchak told us or the Chalkas. He said, "No, that's wrong." Because they had an argument. Which is more important? I put it here the way the Minchas Yitzchak is, that Rov Hiluch is more important than Rov Tashmish. Some are of the opinion that Rov Tashmish is more important than Rov Hiluch. As Chaim Kalman Gutman pointed out to me, that since the Chiv of Mezuzah is the Halicha, so that should be the determining factor before the Rov Tashmish. So first we should see what the Hiluch is. If the Hiluch is equal, then we'll get to the Rov Tashmish. Now, what if everything is equal? The Rov Hila, it's not a Cheder Pnimi, and it's not a Potter from Chiyuv. So the Rov Tashmish is equal, and the Rov Hila is equal. So then what? So number five, if the traffic flows equally between both rooms, and the rooms are used with equal frequency, we allow the Hekert Seer, which means the way doors are constructed today, the direction in which the door opens. If the door between room A and room B opens into room B, The mezuzah is affixed to the right side entering room B. So then, the tiebreaker, at the bottom of the ninth, the bottom of the fifth here, when it's all equal and there's no way of telling, so then you follow Heketzir. The minhag of Chabad is to follow Heketzir rather than following rules 2, 3, 4, except for the outside doors with the mezuzah. So Chabad, their opinion is Heketzir. No, that's the most important. That comes after rule 1. In other words, even they agree. This is Rabbi Marlow told me in a phone conversation many years ago. Rabbi Marlow Zatzal told me that even Chabad agrees that if your outside door opens into the street, you won't put the mezuzah going on the right into the street. Even they agree to that. But once you're in the house, then Heketzir is the most important thing. So in our base measures, but getting back to when the building 2540, the main base measures over here, now we understand very well why the mezuzahs are going into the base measures, even though the doorway is going into the hallway. Why? Because that is the base measures is a cheder panimi. The hallway is a cheder chitzon. So chitzon to panimi. Heketzir, that's much later on the totem pole. And therefore, but you'll see, you go into a Lubavitcher Mossad, or certain places, perhaps in Stern College, and you'll find that Heketzir, in other words, if they'll have a room that the door's going out, they'll put the mezuzah going out. Because that's the minhag Chabad, that Heketzir is, because Heketzir is the only thing that's mentioned in the Gemara. But the pashas is, you read the Gemara carefully, the Gemara only meant that in a situation where people are going both ways and everything's equal, so this is a way of, this is the tiebreaker. But the Lubavitch is saying, no, this is what's mentioned in the Gemara, so this is the most important thing. Everything else is not in the Gemara. Everything else is svaris. I mean, the Shach has a little, the Me'arik has a little, this has a little. But this is basically the main way. And this is these five rules, and you always have to keep in mind when you hold this, and you have to keep in mind the shear of Dalet al Dalet to know if it's a Makom Ptur or not, right? Or Makom Chiyuv, and a Beishar is different. So you have to have all the whole different things in your mind when you're contemplating how to put up a mezuzah in a particular area. But these are the five basic rules. One second. Rav Schachter recently was telling me that he wanted to look into this inyan, and we're looking into it now because we're now embarking upon, and I'm supposed to be involved in this project, embarking upon going through all the mezuzahs of Yeshiva University. That means here and Einstein and the big, and the C, because there are a lot of steerers in YU. I'm talking about the mezuzahs. In regard to the mezuzahs, there's a lot of steerers in regard to the mezuzahs, because in certain places you'll see they're following Rov Hiluch. In certain places they're following Rov Tashmish, making that more important than Rov Hiluch. So they want to have one consistent shita of the whole Yeshiva University. So one of the discussions that Rav Schachter wants that we should mevarer is elevators. What should be the story of an elevator? So what you tell me, based on everything we've learned till now, what should be, should we have mezuzahs on elevators, or should we not have mezuzahs on elevators? What? The elevators are not dalet al dalet, right? He says Chamud in Neil Pasha's way. What else do you want to say? Rabbi Kivega going back, but I don't like the Rabbi Kivega, that. Amy? Yeah. Now, there are two issues of elevators. There are three issues. First of all, when we're talking about putting an elevator, a mezuzah on an elevator, does that mean going into the elevator or going which way, first of all? That's number one. And number two, are we talking about putting it on each floor on the doorway of that floor, or are we talking about putting it on the box?
That,
so the question, let me tell you what the issue is. If there would be a chiv of a mezuzah on an elevator, l'chora, it wouldn't be going into the elevator, because into the elevator there's no floor that's kavua. Usually it's empty till the box comes to get you, right? So putting it going into the elevator would be very questionable. Putting it on the box, well, the box is in the kavua. So if there would be a chiv on an elevator, the main chiv would be putting it on every floor on the right side going into the building. Now, there is a halacha that
if you have a ladder, and you go into a window, and the ladder is here permanently, so there's a halacha that this window is like a doorway, so you put a mezuzah going into because the ladder is here permanently. If the ladder is not there permanently, so then we don't view this as a... So the question is, how do you view an elevator? Do you view an elevator like a permanent ladder, or do you view an elevator like a ladder that's being moved from place to place? In other words, do we say, well, the system is always there? In other words, is this ladder that's here permanently, that'll be a chiyuv mezuzah over here, is that more kavua than our elevator system where the box is constantly moving? So if the sulam is kavua, this chayav, the sulam is not that. So that, yeah.
And sometimes the elevator breaks down, so it's not really...
Yeah, but sometimes this could fall down too, probably.
No, it's screwed on, we screwed on. But
I don't understand. In the time when
your elevator is finally going to screw on that. No, but it's moving. Like a
yeah, everything breaks down. I mean, you can have a blackout every 25 years.
No, but the things are going.
You know, but usually you don't have a blackout, right? Yeah, anything can happen every...
They use the fire escape.
Yeah, that's right. The first floor would be different.
The first floor, people generally go into the elevator.
Right, so then you put it, but then...
And then you're saying that you don't want to do that because
there's nothing there.
Right, so then...
So maybe
the key... Then the whole hallway doesn't start, which means you're not really going into the hallway. Your only key is coming out of the hallway.
Yeah, but if you never actually went into going into the first floor, you're going to come out eventually when you leave the building or whatever.
We're saying that you're not really ever... We don't actually consider the hallway when you're going in the first floor.
Right.
We only consider the hallway once you're in there when you're coming out, because the hallway is not always there. So then why should?
Right, but the floor that you're coming from, the ground floor that you're coming from, is always there.
Right.
The question is, can we view the elevator as this ladder? In other words, this karka is always here. This karka is always here, and this is considered going in from here into here. So the question is the same thing as an elevator. The karka on the first floor is always there. Now you're going to the elevator, you're coming into here. There's no karka over here. There's no karka. So we say that this karka is a knisa from this karka into here via the via the ladder. Because the ladder has to be a sulam kavua. So the question is, an elevator, so that's what we're trying to figure out right now, how to view the elevator. If the elevator is considered logara for this, so then maybe one of these days you're going to be seeing mezuzahs on every elevator in the Yeshiva University campuses. But if not, Yehuda?
If there are multiple windows that you can get into through that ladder, would each window require a separate mezuzah?
If there's a separate ladder?
No, a same ladder, but...
No, it's the same ladder, that means that you're going to put the ladder from here to there to there. So it's not going to be a ladder kavua.
Right above, one on the
window, like
okay.
Second
you
story,
jump off the
ladder. First
story, like a fire escape.
So it has to be a sulam kavua. That's fire. Always there.
Fire escape.
Fire escape, correct.
So the one thing and all the different windows.
Right, right.
Would you be higher?
So would you be higher?
Yeah.
Different
fire escape.
No, I'm saying this.
If it's a ladder kavua, it has to be a ladder kavua. So the question is an elevator considered like a ladder kavua, or is it considered like a ladder she'ena kavua? Maybe we should take a vote now and have a Sanhedrin here. Should decide. What do you think, Ellen?
It would be enough, I mean, in terms of Rav Iluach, and like if Rav Lubin is first, we're going to take the elevators anyway, then like Belk or that's
no, but even in first hall, people take the elevator.
Well,
doesn't matter, but that doorway over the elevator is taken by the elevator people. Doesn't mean that, well, yeah, there are people, that's not going to pop, since there might be more people walking up to the second floor by foot than by the elevator, but that doesn't mean that that door of the elevator doesn't have people walking through it also.
I saw the floor also, an ancient floor there.
What do they have?
This is on the side of the elevator.
Going which way?
Going coming out.
Coming out, yeah. Ancient Torah, see? Yeah.
It would seem that the first floor should definitely be able to get it because even if you don't walk into the elevator itself, you still have the elevator shaft. And that room, which you think is coming up and down into, you still have.
That's a Beishar, like you were saying.
It's a Beishar? I mean, there's mechanics and there's things in there that work.
Yeah, okay. So then it would be you would put it into the first floor, going in, and the rest of the floors would be going out. Well, let's just finish the elevator discussion, then we'll get to your question. Does anyone want to say anything about elevators? Yeah.
So would this example,
yeah, but
if they use more.
I mean, I think that's what people used to do it that way. Here we don't really do it. I mean, hopefully we don't do it. Yeah. Yeah, but our minhag is where we put mezuzahs even if they're no, as long as there's the shape of the doorpost, even though you don't have that. True, you don't have the, you don't have these things. So our minhag is we put even with them.
But then,
the Rav would not put a mezuzah on the elevator. Because
the make a bracha then in any case?
We're not going, okay, we're not making any bracha. Okay, you mean. Okay, whether we're going to make a bracha or not, that's a separate issue. I mean, lemaisa, maybe you should, because here there are doors. The elevator does have doors, so maybe that's called a door according to the Rambam also. It's not a regular door like this type of door, but it's a door. Elevator doors. So, to be, you know, yeah. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So based on rule number one, if somebody were to put up a mezuzah and a shul, if it says putter, would the person have to put it on the right side going into the hallway, which is tight?
If he's putting it on the mezuzah on the shul, it's the question is the hallway usually is not dalet al dalet anyway. Depends how big the hallway is.
In a big shul,
she's saying that's called from a makom tour to a to a makom chiyuv.
From the shul to the hallway.
Maybe only according to Rabbi Kivager, all backtracking counts.
No, I'm saying if we follow these rules based on priority. The first one says there's an entrance to an area exempt from mezuzah, an area obligated to mezuzah. The mezuzah should be fixed on the right side as one enters the area that requires mezuzah. We've been saying that a hallway requires a mezuzah.
I mean, because the hole is a beis shaar to a makom that's potter, so beis shaar can't be more chayiv than the makom itself. That's what he's saying. So maybe that's. So the hole is a beis shaar to the shul, and the beis shaar is chayiv. He said even if it's not dalad al dalad, but a beis shaar to a makom tour might be potter itself, because the hole is beis shaar can't be more chayiv than the area that it leads to. Oh, what if there's sliding doors? So now, rule number five. So where's rule number six? What? Potter, right? Moshe says Potter. Unbelievable. Moshe has this big chiddush. I didn't put it in here. Did I put it someplace in a footnote maybe? Moshe Shita is big chiddush. That if all five rules, you still can't get it, you get a break. Because Rav Moshe Shita is, there has to be a niker, derech knisa. So if all five rules still not niker, then there's no derech knisa. Not everyone agrees, but that's a big chiddush. That's a big chiddush. He writes that in the tshuva. It's an igros Moshe. What? Yeah, those. Rabbi Shetter said that Rabbi Belsky would always ask Rav Moshe, and then Rav Moshe would say to him, you know, so what did you do? He would ask him this shaila, and he'd say, so what did you do? And he would tell him what he did. So he said, okay, leave it that way. But if he would have asked him before, you know, he would have said, because he held really meeker than it's potter. I don't know, it's hard to have a situation where you ramish, usually one of the rules is going to prevail. Usually not going to be so even Stephen that the Rav Hilu, Rav Ta, you know, it's very rare. It can happen, it can happen, but it's very rare.
What if Chabad holds? If there's a screen door.
Chabad holds a screen door and let him in. No.
If the door to the house opens into the house, the screen opens out to the street.
The main door. Which mezuzah are you talking about?
First
hall base medrash. Going
one point is the hallway. This is still up.
First of all, base measures.
On the right side.
On the right side, there's a door.
Going to the stairwell.
Going to the stairwell. So you tell me. Well, what's the rule? What's so you tell me. Which rule? So which? What's the hilo? What's the tashmish? What?
The hallway. The stairwell.
But the rov hilo has the rov hilo. Take a look. We should take a field trip. Okay, well, we have still have. Are we going to down left here?
Yeah.
Are we doing okay? No. Do we have any sidur? Yeah, but all we need is one sidur. Well, the person could say it loud. We could say the whole of being okay. No. Do you have a sidur? Down for the omen? Okay. Excuse me if we go a little, because this is the last time we're doing it, so we might as well. If I go over a little bit, it'll be Moichel before Yom Kippur, you'll be Moichel. Okay. The next issue, now that we have this open, we can just finish off with the porch or terrace. That's the question, whether you have a deck. in the back of your house. You walk from the sliding doors onto the deck, or you have a terrace. So decks usually are dalet al dalet. Right? So which way do you deal with the deck? So that's a big machlokes. Some say that it's a machlokes between the Rambam and the Rosh. The question that the Rishon have is, why is a shar chotzer chayev mezuzah? There's no tikra. So says the Rambam on page 31. Echad shari chatzeres ve'echad shari mevuos ve'echad shari medinas ayaros hakol chayev mezuzah. That the reason why a chatzer is chayev in mezuzah is because it leads into the house. It's not chayev really on its own right, but it leads into the house. It's chayev because it can't be chayev on its own right. It's not makura. It's one of the Rambam's 10 criteria. But it leads into the homes. That's why it's chayev. But the Rosh on page 32 says. The chotzer darkel, two lines from where I saw the arrow. Darkel yoskach, from shamish diras abatim. And I'll buy saying a royal of ace dira. That he's saying that a chotzer is chayiv without a roof on its own right, because it's darkel bekach. It's darkel bekach. So some want to say that if you hold that it's the chotzer is chayiv on its own right, so the terrace is like the deck is like a chotzer. So then it's chayiv because it leads into the house, so then it goes on the right side going to the house, according to the Rambam. But if it has own chayiv, then it goes on the right side going into the deck. So the pasha is like this. If you have a deck that has, first of all, for a deck to be chayiv, it has to have walls all around it, and the walls are 10 tefachim high. Okay? So if the only way to get onto the deck is from the house, so then Pashtus is, it's machlokas, but Pashtus is like the Taz, that you put it on the right side going onto the deck. Okay? If the deck, and that's the sheet of Rav Moshe, that's the sheet perhaps of the Rambam, and others say, no, you go on the right, that the deck is only chayev because it leads to the house, and therefore you should go on the right side into the house. But, if the deck has, you can get into the house from the deck, so then you have to see what the Rov Hiluch is. But the deck will be chayiv if the deck is dalet al dalet and it has walls around it. So then you put the mezuzah according to the Taz on the right side going onto the deck. If you have a terrace, so I don't know, how many terraces are dalet al dalet? So if the terrace is dalet al dalet, so then according to many, you put on the right side going onto the terrace. If it's not, so then the pashtus is at best is potter. Maybe according to Rabbi Kideger would be chayiv, but
According to the Rambam, even that deck that the Taz said would be a new time at all times. Was there an afternoon between the Rosh? What's the afternoon between the Rosh and the Rambam?
Some want to say the afternoon between the Rosh and the Rambam is if you have a closed-in deck. Which way would it go?
So the Taz was saying according to both, or just the Rosh?
The Taz was just saying it, and some say the Taz only makes sense if you hold it. Some say the Rosh thought it was Machlok Zeram and the Rosh. Rav Moshe says no, everyone agrees like the Taz, and Rav Chaim Kanievsky, who is from the Chazanish school, he says no, everyone agrees. Everyone agrees the Rambam, right? It's interesting, they both have. You know, Rav Shechter thought it was Machlokes Rambam and the Rosh. Rav Moshe says, no, everyone holds, both Rishonim hold my way. And Rav Chaim Kanievsky says, no, both Rishonim hold my way. And, yeah. Harav?
Yeah. Does it make a difference? I'm going back earlier, when you're talking about the protrusions in the wall, does it make a difference how big that the opening is, where there's no, you don't have the mezuzahs like you have, but you have just.
Yeah, you have to have a dalet tefachim opening. There's no, Dalit fuck him open if you get through, then that's the result here.
Yeah.
What's the maximum
next to each other, and it's very narrow.
No, I'm just that. I'm saying, what's the maximum?
Or is there no maximum?
The maximum of the doorway?
You know, what if that space
is 8 feet? As long as it's mezuzahs and a mashkof.
Even if it's like 8, 10, 12 feet?
Yeah. Okay. Okay, let's take a look on page 33. Putting up the mezuzah, bala kova yalichenu b'shvaferis, you put it in a case, and you command a bimkoma, and you make the bracha. Eizu mokum kviyasa b'tachol shal pesach. So first you're supposed to put it on the outer. Say you have a thick mezuzah. So you put it on the tefach achitza. Right? In other words, here's your mezuzah. And here's your part, you know, halachic mezuzah. So you put it on the outer part. In other words, a lot of times it's thick, so some people like to make it symmetrical, so they put it in the middle, or they put it here. No, it's supposed to be on the outer. Tefach hachitzo. Okay? That's one halacha. Betchila shlisha elyon. It should be in the bottom top of the top third. In terms of the height. The bottom of the top third. And you should... Okay, but govashavim kova lamala mizek sheira. But if you put it a little high, it's okay, as long hu sheyekrikenu mashkov tefach. In other words, if you put it too high, if it's within a tefach of the mashkov, then it's mamash pasul. And if it's below the bottom of the top third, it's also pasul. So if you put it too low, it's pasul. If you put it too high, it's pasul. So lechatchila you're supposed to put it in the bottom of the top third. But if you put it a little bit high, it's certainly kosher. But if you put it within a tefach hasamach l'mashkof, then it's mamish pasul. And then the tzarich of kaval yamin hanichnas kim kaval mismol psula. So you got to realize that all these five laws that we learned are very important to know, because if you put it on the wrong right side, then it's pasul. You bought a most expensive mezuzah and you didn't know which side to put it on, and you put it on the wrong right side, then it's like you didn't put up a mezuzah. So you have to know, again, there are machlokis, and I told you that Chabad has their shita, and some people hold Rov Tashmish is more important than Rov Hiluch. The way I wrote it in this article is that Rov Hiluch is more important than Rov Tashmish. But some, that was the machlokis, the Mechutanim. The Minchas Yitzchak held the Rov Hiluch is more important than the Minchas, and the Chalkas Yaakov said that Rov Tashmish is more important. So that's another important halacha. What if you have a very tall doorway? So do you put it on the shlish? What happens then? Say if you have a very tall doorway, then the mezuzah could be way high, you know? What's the story then? So the Shach quotes the Yerushalmi in Dalit, Shach and Dalit on page 33. Aval lamata mishlisha elyon posel. V'kosel ala poskin shah pesach rabo harbe v'nicher k'neged k'seifah. Aval lamal mik'seifah v'nicher k'neged k'seifah. That's the psak of the Yerushalmi. Take a look, the Yerushalmi on page 35. Bar Tavi Shalom Rav Yitzchak Hago Atzmecha Sheyashar Gavoa Amalei Notzenes Keneged Seifov. Where it's, if as a result of putting the mezuzah on the Shlish HaElyon, it's going to be very high. Rav Moshe holds very high means that you won't be able to reach it. So if you have a very tall doorway, so you put a Shlish on, you won't be able to reach it, then we have a different way of governing the halacha. Whereas the din of Shlish Elyon is in a normal door, but if it's very high, then the halacha is you put it by shoulder height. You put the mezuzah by your shoulder height, regular shoulder height. That's where you put the mezuzah. That's the Yerushalmi, and that's where the Shach passes. Now, there's a question, how high is high in order to make it, to make the Yerushalmi's din kick in? So that I said, Rav Moshe says that if he can't touch it, it's too high to be touched. So then,
Rav Moshe
was short. Right. But a regular person can't touch it. You know, we're not talking about the giant. We're not talking about someone who's 6'6", 6'10". We're talking about a regular, right? And if he can't touch it, then you can employ the Yerushalmi of Keneged safely.
You don't have to put it by his shoulders either.
What?
You don't have to put it by his shoulders if he said it a few times.
On page 34, Katie, Kova Yismarena the Matabarim. Supposed to put it with nails, and the Aruch HaShulchan says it doesn't have to be nails, it can be anything that's of a permanent nature. You don't have to necessarily put nails. You can get a lot of these, you know, things that, you know, you peel off the thing, you know, a lot of them come, you know, the mezuzah cases come, and you can peel it off and just put it on. Just make sure that you know where you're putting it on before you put it on, because then it becomes very messy, and you have to try to take it off. So, you know, try to make sure you know what you're doing before you do it. I've had my experiences with that. Vav, there is a machlokes, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, not only about mezuzah, but all Devarim Shebekdusha. How are you supposed to keep the Sifrei Torah in the Arum? Are they supposed to be vertical or horizontal? So the question is, how are mezuzahs supposed to be? Machlokas Rashi, are they supposed to be like this or like this? Vertical or horizontal? So we put it on a slant. So, you know, the famous drasha on the chuppah is that, you know, the house has to be built in compromise. So the machlokas is this, so we do this. But that, halachically, that's not exactly what we're doing. In other words, we don't, none of, it's not pshat, Rashi holds this way, and Rabbeinu Tam holds this way, so we do none of the above. No, the pshat is that Rashi holds that this way is still kosher, as long as it's not this way. And the other opinion says this way is definitely way, this way is no good, but this way is still good. So this, if you do it slanted, that's both days will hold that's still proper. So that's why the minhag is to be slanted. Except if you're a Vilna Gaon person, and you follow everything the Vilna Gaon says, then you put the mezuzah straight. But if you're not a Vilna Gaon person, normative Judaism is that we slant it. And this way, both shitas will agree that way is kosher. Because the shita that holds vertical doesn't hold that it has to be vertical, it just holds that horizontal is no good. And the sheet that holds horizontal doesn't mean it has to be horizontal, so it's vertical is no good. So to be yotzei all the day is that's the minute. Then there's a din when you move, page 36. You're not supposed to take the mezuzah with you when you leave the house. Why? Why aren't you supposed to take the mezuzah with you? Suppose it explains in 37. That if you're going to take the mezuzah with you, you're considered being mazik, the person that is coming in. Mazik the bias. If he's not Jewish, you can take it. If he's not Jewish, you can take it. And the Ramah says on page 38, on Halacha Beis, page 38, Whereas you have a right to charge for the mezuzahs. In other words, you have to leave them there. And if he says he has his own mezuzahs, then you can take it. And he says he wants your mezuzahs, you say, fine, but pay me for them. That's the Ramah. You can charge for the mezuzahs. Cases you don't have to leave. You can give them cheap cases if you want. But the mezuzah you have to leave him with. If you're choshesh that it's gonna fall into the wrong hands, then you can probably take it also. Well, the apartment building of its own, yeah, the guys for sure. What about checking the mezuzah? Yeah. Why you? What's the status of why you? Yeah. Why you apartments, right? There's one heter that if they're going to paint. Some poskim holders, they're going to take them down anyway to paint, then you can take it away. But you can charge the person. If you're going to leave there, you can charge the person who's coming in and using your mezuzahs. This is why you fix it, but they're not going to fix it, so don't, you can't. Yeah. You have to see a little bit better than regular. You know, something that's. Joe Shechter said it should last as long as you plan it to stay there. So if you plan to stay there for 40 days, so it should last for 40 days. If you plan to stay there for 40 years, it should last for 40 years. Yeah.
In terms of the direction of the system, the Mahavir's capacity to like Rashi without hesitation.
Yeah. Right, but that's the minute. That's the minute to follow this. Yeah. If you don't know, if there's a guy that might move in, you can take it. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't know if it's stripped in. I'm not so sure. But that's the minute, yeah. The Mechaber says on page 38, Reish Sari Aleph, Mezuzas Yochid Nefgekes Pamayim B'Sheva Shonim. It's important that your mezuzas be kosher in terms of you buy it from a reliable source. A lot of people buy mezuzahs, they're not reliable. I know somebody who bought mezuzahs and they were all terrible. They were all written on paper. They were all, there will be a lot of fraud. And we have the mezuzah specialist here. You can tell us maybe a little bit about.
Also, the problem with mezuzahs is that they have to be
See, listen to what he said. 95% of problematic.
Those which are not good. 95% were never good.
But never good. And that's because they were. Touching each other.
Touching each other makes it possible.
Right.
It's correctable.
And this, and would you say a lot of mezuzahs being sold today are
much better now than it used to be like 20 years ago?
Right.
But still, high percentage
are. And those mezuzahs are sold in the metropolitan area?
As far as 16% of mezuzahs are possible.
How much? 16% of mezuzahs that are being sold.
Are it's all a pasuk.
A pasuk.
Of those 15% were never good. Which means, again, 95% were never good.
Wait, 16% of mezuzah sold today,
a pasuk. And if you take all those 16%, that's 100 mezuzahs,
yeah.
95
were never good. So it's important to go to the right places.
Make sure
what?
The first time around.
Right Heksher.
Right
place. And these stats are for America. And in Eretz Yisrael, it's worse or better or?
Basically, they're probably the same because the owners of the account for Eretz Yisrael. Owners are sold here.
So is there a lot of fraud going on?
Not necessarily fraud, no.
Amaratzis or fraud? What is it?
Supervision.
No supervision. Hefkeris. Okay, so keep our eyes open. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that a mezuzah should be checked twice every 7 years. A mezuzah should be checked twice every 7 years. So I remember a year or two ago, Rabbi Schechter gave a Sichas Musar where he was discussing how in halacha you have to understand the halacha to apply the halacha. I don't know if any of you were there at that Sichas Musar. So what he said was that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says that this halacha of twice in 7 years he doesn't think applies b'zman hazeh, even though most people say assume it does apply. He thinks it only applied in then when the mezuzah was subject to the elements of, you know, there was no heating and there was no, so in the winter it really got cold inside the house, so then the mezuzahs got, you know, had problems, and in the summer the walls were sweating, you know, so there was no cooling, and in those situations there was a big chashash. Or today maybe there are outdoor mezuzahs, but the mezuzahs that we have in our house in the winter are not subject to the cold, and the summer are not subject to the heat. Maybe that Shlomo Zalman thought that this Iker Adin doesn't apply b'zman hazeh to the indoor mezuzahs because of the situation that we have. How do you feel about that? You agree?
Almost all problems are first time around. So if you bought good mezuzahs the first time around, the probability you have found 3.5 years, 7 years, or 15 years later is very small.
Even 70 years later.
Even I'm not I didn't check mezuzahs which are 70 years old, but I would say 30 years for sure. Outside maybe, but indoor for sure is a problem.
Okay, so you should listen to what he said that. Right. So outdoors, you should maybe to check more regularly, you know, twice in the outdoor mezuzahs. But the indoor mezuzahs, you can be much more maker. But as Rabbi Gans pointed out, that the main problem with the mezuzahs is meikara, that they were never good from day one. So.
One more
yeah. Which
was the right side? Missing the mezuzahs. Upside down, not realizing whatever it is. 19 out of 21.
So you make this Rabbi Gans is called the mezuzah doctor, right? He's referred to as the mezuzah doctor. So, and you do what? House calls of.
I do house calls. What I do.
You do house calls.
Yeah.
And the parishes too. You do everything.
A to Z.
I only do house calls on. Which way they're supposed to go. I don't do house calls on the park. He does total house calls. So it depends how sick you are, who you should call. Yeah. Okay. Let's just close with one last agadita. Famous agadita, Maseches Avodah Zarah, on page 39. Unculus bar cloninus igaya. Unculus, that's Arif Unculus, Targum Unculus. He was a ger. So Shana Kesar Gunda de Ramaya Basre. So So he sent Roman generals to find out what was going on. And they were supposed to bring Uncleus to the Caesar. So Mashkinu Bikroi. So they got involved in a discussion about the Psukim. And they got so interested in Torah, talking to Uncleus, he gyred. So they themselves converted, and they didn't go back. So the Caesar saw they didn't go back, so he sent another group. Don't speak to him. Because if you start speaking to him, you know, what happened to them may happen to you. Don't speak. So somehow they got into a whole conversation, and when I skip a little bit, and they also converted. You got it. Cool. Hadar, first word in Latin is Shadar, after Shmos Yud Gimel. Shadar Gunda Achrisa Basrei, Hamalolot Tishomidi, Bahadei. The third group. First two groups converted. Third group said, you better not talk to him. But I'm not going to talk to him. Kenatulei Ba'azle, so they've taken him out of the house. They were taking Uncles out of the house. Chazer Mezuzta, Demancha Pescha. So they saw the mezuzah. Osiv Yodeleh, so Uncles put his hand on the mezuzah. So Amrleh, my high, so they asked him, what is this? What is the mezuzah? So Amrleh, Emelucha Ap. Amrleh, Min Hagel Shal Olam, Melech Basar, Vadam Yoshev Mivisnim. So Uncles explained to him that Min Hagel Shal Olam, the king is in his palace, right? And the generals are outside protecting him. The Avad of Mishamim was so be Bechutz. The Ilah Kadosh Baruch Hu, Avadav Mibifnim, Behu Mishamim Bibachutz. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just the opposite. He lets us sit inside the house, and he's outside protecting us. Shenema Hashem Yishmor, Tseischa Uvrecha Me'atav Yad Olam. So that was very impressive. So what happened? He got here. They converted. Sulo Shadar Basrei. So he gave up. He gave up after that. And it says, the Ramah says in Shulchan Aruch, page 40, the minute of kissing the mezuzah, so it's really quoted in Shulchan Aruch as just touching the mezuzah, but it's based on this agarta. Based on this agarta that when they were carrying out, he touched the mezuzah, that's the source of what we call kissing the mezuzah or touching the mezuzah, and that's and the mezuzah is a shmira. That's you know, it's interesting that the Rashi says in Psachim that the mezuzah is a shmira. It's not certain mitzvahs; they're a mitzvah, but we don't necessarily view them so much as a shmira. Mezuzah we view as a shmira. That was the famous story with the Lubavitcher Rebbe and when they attacked in Malot many years ago, and the Lubavitcher Rebbe said they should check the mezuzahs, and they found out the amount of people who were killed were the amount of mezuzahs that were puzzled. Okay, but whatever that means. Still, the Rambam writes in Halakha Yud Gimel, page 41. In other words, the mezuzah should remind you of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you should realize that nothing is forever except God. In other words, it's important to be in a situation where you have many things protecting you, reminding you of God. The mezuzah, the tzitzis, the tefillin, v'hein heim hamalachim. These are the angels. Rambam is a rationalist. He says, these are the angels. When we talk about the angels, that's the angels. That we have the mezuzah, the tefillin, and remind you of God. That these are the malachim, the mezuzahs, and the tefillin, and the tzitzis all surrounding you. That should bring shmira. That should bring a yirah shamayim. That should bring shmira. That should bring arichas yamim. And b'schus us keeping the mitzvah of mezuzah kihochasa, we should be zocher for arichas yamim. We should be zocher for a gemar chasim atova. Thank you.